Previously on Thomas and the Bible, Nehemiah, the cupbearer of the king, was sad because the walls of the city of Jerusalem weren't built. He asked the king if he could return and build it. The king accepted the request and sent him with a letter to allow him passage and for materials to build the gates of the city. He arrived at Jerusalem and inspected the walls, organized the men, and got the walls built, despite insults from opposition from surrounding people and other Jews, with a Thomas Yawn count of 1.
Hey guys, man, I am loving that previously on. It's really cool. Thanks again to Harley as usual. I'll stop thanking him eventually and start hating him for it. No, I don't know. Start resenting him. God, that Harley and his previously on. It's so good. I hope he's had to go to breakneck pace, you know, 3 in a row. It's not going to be always every day. In fact, the next episode, I can tell you when I plan to release the next episode, and hopefully that'll actually happen. Let's see. It is scheduled for the 20th. So today is the 17th. Yeah, right on schedule. I'm sticking to it, man. I could have put it, see, because I came up with this schedule back on the 11th, and I scheduled it out, and I was supposed to do a podcast that day, and then some stuff happened, and so I didn't do one. And I thought to myself, well, I could just stretch this schedule out and start it on the, you know, the 15th. And then I was like, no, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to catch up. So I'm going to record these 3 in a row. And I was supposed to go the 11th, the 14th, the 17th. Instead, I went the 15th, 16th, 17th. but now with this one, I'm on track, and I'll probably knock out the next one, ahead of time. Maybe I can keep ahead of the curve a bit. And so anyway, the point is hopefully, Harley will keep recording those previously ons. I don't know what it's going to be like when he can't do one. I'm going to be really sad if I don't have a previously on. Maybe I'll don a fake accent and try to pretend I'm him. Or maybe by that time I'll have so many clips of him, I'll just like piece together his words, you know? Sounds way too hard though. But still, it could be funny. Just like, previously, well, that'd be easy. Previously on Thomas and the Bible. Okay, I got that much. Never mind. I don't need to borrow different words for that one. I think I can just grab one of them. Previously on Thomas and the Bible. And they'll be like, Job was going to the store. You know, they like that kind of thing. I don't know when he will have said all that. But so, if you folks are, I'm a little scratchy right now. If you folks are on the Facebook, you will have seen by now that I posted a picture. I had a generous donator, someone, well, they're all generous. But this, I saw someone just donated, made a little donation to me. And that reminded me, I need to get my prize in order because I did promise you guys there'd be prizes. And in the spirit of sticking to my schedule, sticking to my promises, I'm delivering, guys, I'm doing it. So I went on Amazon and I ordered a bunch of the very same Bible that I got to start this podcast. And I saw on Amazon, I posted the picture on the Facebook. It said, I wasn't even thinking it would say this, but it said like, you ordered one of these on February. Let's see, when was it? I'm looking at the picture now. February 19th, 2010. Isn't that odd? And then I don't think the first episode came out till May. That's kind of funny. I don't remember there being that big of a delay between when I ordered this King James Bible and when I started doing, you know, it's been long enough that I don't totally remember, but maybe I like ordered the Bible just to read it. Like I wasn't thinking of the podcast yet. Cause I'm pretty sure once I've had the idea, I did it right away, but who knows? It's funny how our memories kind of change of things, you know, which is why a great reason to bring it full circle here. A great reason not to trust anything in the Bible is the fact that this was 3 years ago and I can't even remember what happened. I had no idea there'd be that big of a delay. And it's not like that's just a tiny factual detail like that time delay. That implies a lot of things. Like, I don't remember the thinking. I don't remember if I ordered it, like I said, ahead of time or if I had the idea to do the podcast but then like didn't do it for like 3 months. You know, I have no idea. And similarly, I don't trust the people in the Bible who, you know, told stories of what happened 50 or 60 years ago, and that was somehow the inerrant word of God. You know, I just don't trust that at all. So just a little anecdote there. But so I ordered them up. Also, I used a free trial of Amazon Prime. I think I'm going to sign up for that thing. It seems pretty cool, actually. I'm the only idiot who's signing up for it like after all our Christmas shipping was done. You know, so that was dumb. That's like getting a girlfriend the day before Valentine's Day. Just asking for trouble. Just wait. Just wait that extra day or two, I guess. Excuse me, readjusting my chair. So I ordered that, and then what I'll do, I don't know if I should announce it now. Yeah, what the hell, might as well. This is going to be a short episode because there is a little bit of genealogy involved. Study of genies. I think I made that joke before. I don't have my site pulled up. Okay, so what I'm probably going to do is I promised that those who made donations before knowing the prize would get a little extra credit. So I'm probably going to go back and pull those names. I'll probably take like the top because honestly, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm ungrateful for any donation is great, but there are some people who donated a lot and I am going to kind of prioritize. I'm going to take a selection of people who donated more, give them a few more chances in the, however I do this randomization. Everybody, you know, everybody's got a chance. I don't want to, exclude anybody because I'm very grateful for all the donations I got. And then I'm going to, I'll probably give it a few more days or weeks or for people who want to donate. You know, not that this prize is like a direct, you know, you need to donate to get this prize. I don't, you know, obviously that's, if I was giving away prizes that were as much as the donations, then there'd be no point. And actually it might've been, I ordered a lot of these freaking Bibles, but not that many. Anyway, I will do some complex algorithm of giving people the credit where credit is due. So the more you donate, the higher likelihood you're going to have of winning a sign. So I'm going to sign them. So that it's the same Bible that I read that you see in the picture in the iTunes logo. It's all the same, which, you know, whatever. It's not a huge deal, but I'm trying to do, yeah, I'm trying to make it cool. I'm trying to make it as cool as I can. I'll write an inscription in it. I don't know. I'm thinking of trying to think, let me know if anyone has any opinion on this, or maybe when the winners are announced, I'll ask you guys individually what you want in it. Maybe you don't want anything. Maybe you don't want me to pollute your perfect holy book. I don't know. But yeah, that's my plan for a prize, and, it's cool. 'Cause it's nothing, you know, it can just sit on your bookshelf and there it is. And you'll think of the podcast you once knew and a cat you saved, a cat you helped save. Ooh, maybe I can get Mr. Kitty to sign it. Or I can just yank out like just a handful of his fur, you know, just re-yank it out and then just put it in a selection of these Bibles. Okay, so that's that. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I think I have low self-esteem, so I envision everyone thinking this prize is a piece of crap and they don't want it. But I'm, you know, trying to stay positive. Hopefully it's a cool prize for you guys. 'Cause I just want some way to show my appreciation for people who donated for Mr. Kitty. 'Cause it was really amazing. And, like I said, if you want to get some donations in here, please do. If you're on the fence, you keep meaning to donate. What I actually had wanted to do before Mr. Kitty fell ill, is there's actually specifically two or three pieces of equipment that I really would like for the studio that I just use for podcasts. Not to mention, of course, the 3 years of server space, you know, web space I've paid for that I didn't even think about. But that aside, it would be really cool if I could get these two. I need a new mic stand that's not so bulky because this thing just hangs right. It's so annoying. I can't even explain. And I also, there was a new mic I was eyeing, but you know, we'll take it a step at a time. And then long term, my interface is, I've turned it on a few times and it just doesn't turn on. And then I found a little trick to like get it to work. It's going to hell basically. But never think that I'm turning some huge profit. This is all just stuff I want to do for the podcast that it would take everyone donating to even come close to getting all this stuff. So don't feel like, you know, there's nothing left to donate for just because I already paid Mr. Kitty's vet bill. All right. So let's get to our reading, which I've got my fancy spreadsheet schedule now, which I also put in the readings for. Let's see what it is. It's Nehemiah 5 through Nehemiah 8. This guy's kind of funny. It's really interesting. I'm glad that, I will say this for the Bible, I'm incredibly glad that there's a change of pace. I'm glad that there's Nehemiah who's like writing in the first person. He kind of puts in his thoughts here and there. He's like, and I did this, and I, you know, it's at least an incredible relief from the awfulness that was Chronicles. It was really getting to me. I don't know if you could tell or anything, but Chronicles was really wearing on me because it was just the same thing. It was like reading Numbers over and over, not the book of Numbers, like actual, like just 1, 5, 7, like reading the same pattern of numbers with like a different lead number. That's like what it was. Like it was just a pattern, you know, like an equation, and there's like two different variables, and I just read it over and over. Got really old. So this is at least different, and you know, I don't know, it's got me feeling positive for some reason. For maybe it's because I ordered those books to send to you guys. I'm kind of excited about that. So yeah, let's get to it. Nehemiah 5. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews. For there were that said, we our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth. Geez, sorry, I got burpee right when I... There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for the other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. See, it's this first-person stuff. It's interesting. The people against their brethren, the Jews. Sorry, I was going back to... So I guess they're complaining about the Jews around them, I believe. Pretty sure it wasn't entirely clear. Because, like, they owe everyone money because of the king's tribute they have to pay. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury... Every one of his brother, which I believe is against, isn't that a commandment or is it some law that you can't have usury, you know, interest. And I said unto them, which is a kind of a crap law because interest is pretty, I mean, so if you lend money, you're actually losing money because, you know, time value of money, not to mention inflation. It's just how are you going to get people to lend people money if they can't charge for it? It's just, it's craziness. Got to have usury. But within reason, you know. There, I don't know if this was predatory lending. Maybe it was. In which case, he's arguing for a little more regulation, which, you know, hey, that's a good message, you know. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. I don't really know what he just said. I read this several times. Let's see. He said, "And we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews." I don't know if he's using like the royal we or what, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell? So he's saying like, because he brought the Jews out of kind of a pseudo captivity, sort of like in Egypt, but not really. So he's saying, like, we have redeemed them, I think, which were sold unto the heathen. So he got them back. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? That I don't get. Because the first one sounds like, oh, now are you going to sell them back? Saying, like, they're holding them hostage to this money they owe, essentially. But I don't get what the sentence, or shall they be sold unto us? I guess that means... I guess that means like they're going to be slaves to us, like out of the frying pan into the fire. If they were essentially slaves, sold as slaves to the heathen, which was Babylon, I think it was, and then I rescued them, and then they come back here, and then they're still slaves because they owe you so much money. So that's what he's saying. It's like, so are you going to sell them back to Babylon, or are they being sold back to us essentially? And so then I apparently this speech, which I found confusing, but nevertheless, they held their peace and found nothing to answer. So they were convinced. And I said, sorry, I'm so coffee. Is it not good that ye do? Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the 100th part of the money, and of the corn, and the wine, and the oil, that ye exact of them. Wow, this is a tough sell. Then said they, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them. So we'll do as thou sayest. That's the response. So we will restore them, and so I guess they're convinced. That seems a little too easy to me. I don't, if someone was asking me to like forgive a bunch of debt, give back a bunch of stuff, I'd be like, yeah. I mean, maybe I do it if it's a really good cause, but I take a little explaining. You can't just have someone come up to you and be like, hey, forgive thousands of dollars in debt. Okay, all right. It's like, what? I mean, that'd be nice if I could get my student loans gotten rid of that way. But alas, I borrowed the money and I owe them the money. So fair is fair. And took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. So they've taken an oath that they're going to do that. Also, I shook my lap, which I don't know how you shake one's lap. I don't know. That seems to me, whenever I envision that, that seems to involve penis. You know, like I can't imagine shaking the lap and not having it be somewhat sexually related. Maybe that's just where my mind is, but it certainly is. But I can't shaking their lap. I don't understand that. But he does. Maybe he means like your pockets or something. Because he says, also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out of every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus, because that doesn't sound so bad to me right now, but it's a threat apparently. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that have been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. So he's just saying he was governor of them, and sort of to lead by example, he didn't really take any money from them or anything. Like he didn't, you know, didn't have them pay him stuff, like tribute and stuff for being governor. So he's saying, you know, he sounds like a pretty good guy. Honestly, I don't really have any problem with Nehemiah. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in ten days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. I kind of like this guy. I'll be honest, he's the first likable guy there is. And this is written in his own hand, as it were, so possibly he's... you know, he's making himself look better than he was. Maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. But if this is the real him, then he seems pretty cool, because he's just building up the wall. He's not requiring anything from the people. He seems like a good leader. And then he says, think upon me, my God, for good. I don't know. It's kind of nice. He's like, you know, take a look at this, God. I think I'm doing good here. And so, think of me as good. Can't say I'm terribly upset with this guy. I think he might be our first, maybe not the first, I don't remember, but he's certainly one of the very, 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 very few likable characters thus far. Don't worry, he'll disappoint us. You don't worry. He'll be going on like this, and then he'll say something like, Well, of course we can murder a bunch of people because God said we could, and then he'll kill a bunch of people. Don't you worry. Mark my words. He will. I know you're getting a little nervous, like, oh, am I going to have to actually like someone in the Bible? I don't know if I'm prepared to do that. It hasn't happened yet, and I never thought it was going to happen. But don't worry. He will disappoint us. I can assure you. So, Nehemiah 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. I knew I forgot something. It's totally unbreachable. Sir, what about the, there's no doors? There's just a big, giant opening right there, like right where you'd first look. The first... Look at the just take. I know you haven't noticed the breach, that you just said there are no breaches. Why don't you go ahead and just look at the wall and just tell me the first thing you see. Just what pulls your. It's a great wall. I'm not trying to you know, discount the great work you've done, but to say that it's without breach, I'm just take one look at it. Just look at the wall. Tell me the first thing. Oh yeah, the giant place where doors are supposed to go. So. You know, people might maybe get in that way. I don't, you know, just saying, the place where most likely the road leads, you know, like right there, like where all the focus is, you know, because there's probably like some big, like, you know, I don't know what you call them, but pillars or something that hold the doors that are bigger than the rest of the wall, maybe like something. I mean, it's just pretty obvious. I'm just saying it's obvious. So it's like, it's almost like not having a wall, like just. It's not quite, because I understand if someone's over on a different part of the wall, maybe they can't get through. But the fact that the most obvious place is totally wide open is like 70% like not having anything. So just before you go bragging about the wall, I'm just saying, before you brag to people and you know, maybe they get mad at you and want to march on you, just maybe just put doors in. So that conversation happened. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it, and come down to you? Yet then they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after in the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein it was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. So they're sort of trying to blackmail him. And so these people are like, I think they're trying to assassinate him, but not in a terribly sophisticated way. They're just like, hey, come on down. They walk through these rusty nails and come visit, something like that. Hey, why don't you walk straight through this quicksand and come have a drink with us? A poison drink, if you survive the quicksand. But they're trying to get him to come down. They're almost blackmailing. They're like, well, what if someone was to tell the king that you're rebelling or something? So that's kind of what the last thing they said. And then he said, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest. So he's saying it's not true. But thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, because someone said, shut up. And he said, all right, I'm shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? I mean... Is he flee, like the bass player from Chili Peppers? Should such a man as I flee, do what? No, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. So some people came and said, like, hey, they're going to kill you. Run and hide in the temple. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to hide in a temple. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced his prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. So it was like a trick, and he found it out. So he tells us. I don't know, you know, this is only one account. So it's a first-person account. So I trusted about as far as I can throw it. So like 7 yards. I don't know. How do you trust something a distance anyway? Like, even if, say, you could throw something really far, like, I trust this spaceship as far as I could launch it. And then you send it like a light year away. How does trust relate to distance is what I want to know. I still don't understand that. Oh, wait a minute. No, I just got it. And maybe this isn't it, or maybe it is. Is it that you trust someone about as far as I could throw them? It's like you trust them to be that far away. Like once they get a certain distance away, like, I don't trust what they're doing. Like, you have to keep an eye on them. Is that what it is? Okay. Sorry if everyone already knew this and I'm just figuring this out now, but I think that's probably what it is. So, and I'm going to sound dumb if it isn't what it is, but I don't care. I'm not Googling. This is me. You know, there was a time when people had to try to think of things without Googling them. I know, it was horrible. Medieval times. But I'm trying to simulate that now. I think that's got to be what it is, right? I don't trust them as far as I could throw them. And that must mean, because otherwise, like, how does trust relate to distance? That doesn't even make any sense. Unless it's like, yeah, once he's like 10 feet away after promising me something, I can't, I don't trust him. Once he's out of my vision, you know, pretty much, like, once he's a few miles away, I don't trust him at all. You know, isn't that it? Anyway. Okay, so what did I just say? My God, think thou upon Tobiah. So essentially he saw through their plot and he didn't go in the church because I guess that was going to be like sinful and people could have like blackmailed him into something. I don't know. But anyway, therefore he was hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin that they might have matter for an evil report that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul. Do you get the feeling that they could just say any word after the month? Like in the month of... And you'd be like, oh yeah, that's probably one of them. I don't know how many, but there might be 70 or 80 months that they've said, and I wouldn't know because I can't keep track of these names. But yeah, who knows? Who knows how many months they have? Could be thousands. And it came to be more months than days. It was like, oh, I'm in a month now. I'm in a new month. Hey, next month, we should go on a lunch break. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Sheshani, well, that'll do it, the son of Era, and his son Jonahan, no, this is confusing because it looks like Jonathan, but it's not, Johanan, had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. So that's the end of that chapter. So we're on to chapter 7. Drink of water. Smoking a pancake. Nehemiah 7. Now, I literally have not seen that movie since I saw it in the theaters with somebody that I didn't really know that well. That would have been my birthday, July 30th, 2003. Someone look up if Austin Powers 3 was... No, 2003? 2004, I'm sorry. 2004, I believe. Right? 3 or 4. Anyway... I have not seen Austin Powers 3 since that day in the theater. And I just thought of smoking a pancake. Smoking pancake because I need a drink of water. That's how my weird brain works. I just think of random things that I've never thought of ever. And then they just come to me. And it's like they were there the whole time. But they're never anything never anything important. Never anything like things I've read or cool, you know, like facts or anything. It's always like a quote from a Mike Myers movie. That's the affliction I live with. Now it came to pass when the wall was built and I had set up the doors and the... Oops, I have my music going on in my ears. You guys won't hear that, but I'm going to have to stop it because it's really annoying. And there we go. Okay. Now it came to pass when the wall was built and I had set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, and while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. So they built a wall around nothing. They just walled off like not one house. Like, cool, you build a huge wall to protect like two guys. You just build a house for them, like a really strong house. Or just have them run away, and then they'd be protected. And my God put it in mine heart to gather together the nobles, and the rulers, and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy. Key words, genealogy, guys. You know, it's going to be really cool reading. Of them, which came up at the first, and found written therein, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and came again to Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city. Who came with okay, here it's starting. Don't care. Bunch of people, children, it says children of Anonoth, children of Babylon, children of... All the way down, all the way down, all the way down. And these went up also, children, okay, priests... These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. And the Trishatha said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. The whole congregation together was 42,303. Beside their manservants and maidservants, of whom there were 7,337. And they had 245 singing men and singing women. Their horses, 7 horses. I'm just saying horses. I guess that's how you say the plural now. Their horses, 736. Their mules, 245. Oh, why am I still reading this? So some stuff. Some of the chief treasurer, some of the chief drams. He's giving people gold, silver, something. So the priests... Oh, maybe that's to the church. I don't know. Who cares? All right, next chapter. That was nothing. This is not nothing, I think. Pretty sure. Okay, Nehemiah 8. This is our final chapter. And I'm going to drink some water. Smoking a pancake. Okay. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street... That was before the water gate. Yeah, this was before Watergate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe. There you go. There's something that was really prophetic. That was before the Watergate, even though it's not capitalized and it's two words. But still, you could take that to mean this was before this predicted Watergate. That was before the Watergate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the Watergate. Again, this was before Watergate. Pre-Nixon. From the morning until midday. Before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people that were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra, the scribe, Ezra's in this. Ezra makes a guest appearance, guest starring Ezra. And Ezra, the scribe, stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Mattathiah and Shema and several thousand other people. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all their people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akub and Shabbatai. This is what I'm sparing you of when I skip stuff. And Shabbatai and Hodijah and Masai and Kelita and Azariah, Jobabad, Hanan, Pella. Like, what is the point of that? Is he going to do something? Cause the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, that's nice. That was a nice sentence. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. It's nice. It's a nice sentence. This is good. It's turning over a new leaf for now. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. Oh, this is because no one actually knew the law. And so, mysteriously, since no one knew it, they hadn't been doing it right for God. So, you know, what do you know, God? If you give them a book, then they have a slight chance, not 100%, they have a slightly better chance of following it, instead of just punishing them for stuff. Hey, why didn't you do all that stuff you didn't know to do? Come on. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded Moses, that all the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish. Yeah, you all need to publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches. There was a big run on olive branches and pine branches at this time, once they found out it was ordered of them, and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and this was before Watergate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. This was before Ephraim gate, too, that Ephraim controversy. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so, because it was quite ridiculous. And there was a very great gladness. And day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast on 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. Well, there we go. We're done with reading for today. So that does it. All right, a little more meat than yesterday. And, yeah, I think that's, not much else to say on that. So I will call it a sode. And again, please donate. Thank you to David, who donated a minute ago. And donate more, and, I'll be sending prizes your way. And probably, I'd say you have about a week to 2 weeks. I'm not sure how long I want to leave it open. Well, I'll do it in rounds, because I bought a bunch of books. I'll send out, like, rounds. So first round, let's say you have about a week, week and a half to get your donations in to possibly win a signed exact replica of the Bible that I hold in my hands now, that I use, and is the official Bible of Thomas and the Bible, and it's in the pictures. And, yeah, so thank you very much, and keep in mind, you know, it's win-win. You help me out, because I like I said earlier, the funds could be used. And, you know, thanks a lot. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you in about 3 days. Adios.